He did that with Jonah. He said to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach to him. Jonah didn't want to do it. He was tired of ministry. He said, I'm out of here. I'm going to go to Tarshish. It's easier over there. Got in a boat. And in verse 12 of the first chapter of Jonah, it said, and Jonah rose and fled from the presence of the Lord. That's when his problems began.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope. Whether it's something as simple as a pop quiz or as severe as a hurricane, none of us likes the feeling of being unprepared. Well, in our Christian walk, we also need to be prepared if we want to live the victorious, fruitful life that God intended for us. Today, Pastor Wayne has a message entitled, Preparing for Fruitfulness. But first, we're going to take you into Farrington High School Auditorium for a few minutes of worship.
Some time ago, I was in a group of pastors, and one of them was sharing how he's been thinking through what the church should be, and it should be kind of live and let live, whatever goes, because God loves everybody, and he's really, you know, that's the way God is. And when it was done, I thought, wow, he's opening the door to all kinds of stuff coming in and just kind of celebrating it. But then I thought, you know, when I listened to him, I thought he really believes what he's saying. It wasn't like he was an evil person. He really believed what he was saying. But when I left that place, I thought, Lord, that's why we need you to determine what is a pure heart and not what I think is a pure heart, and then establish it. I need you to set boundaries in my life, because like a river without boundaries is only a swamp, and a church without boundaries would be without direction. It would just be swamps. Lord, I need you to put your loving arms around us to say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we will stay with that. And that brings force, that brings direction, that brings power, that brings life, and not just that which would breed mosquitoes. So Lord, I need you to determine what is a pure heart, not me, because I think I'll be selective, but you will be accurate. So Lord, you show me and you determine for me and I'll submit to you. And I thought how important it is for all of us to be like David in Psalm 139, where he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. See if there be any hurtful way in me. In fact, David was the king. He could have called the shots whichever way he wanted to. He had the authority to do that. But still he stopped and said, search me, O God, and know my heart. And I thought, that's why God said, you're a man after his own heart. Because you could have called the shots, but instead you submitted to him who knows what's best. I thought, Lord, may it be not only for David, but for us as well. So here's a new song for some of us, and it's just simply that. Comes straight out of Psalm 139, and it's called Search Me, O God. It goes like this. It's a prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me. Then lead me in your everlasting. Lead me in your everlasting. Lead me in your everlasting way. Try it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me. Then lead me in your everlasting. Lead me in your everlasting. Lead me in your everlasting. Sing it again. Search me. Search me, O God, oh, I know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me. Lead me in your everlasting. Lead me in your everlasting. way. Is that your prayer? It's mine. Yeah. Be so kind as to reach out and take a hold of the person's hand next to you, and we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we pause. We take each other's hands to be reminded that you've made us one in Christ. And sometimes performance or personalities may differ, but we're one in you. Not because we look like, act like, think like one another. We all want to be more and more like you. And as we draw closer to you, we find that we are drawn closer to one another, because it's in you that there's unity. So, Father, we ask that you'd bring us closer to you every day. And sometimes, Lord, we can come through some pretty bad experiences, but come through better, not bitter, because you have led us all the way. I thank you for that, Lord. And Jesus, now would you open our hearts to receive from you and your Spirit as you teach and instruct us how to prepare our hearts for fruitfulness, because you've set yourself to bless us. You said in Luke 12, it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So, Lord, help us to cooperate with you as we prepare our hearts for fruitfulness. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone says, amen. We'll turn to a couple people, give them a hug, and say, welcome to New Hope. Go ahead, find a couple people, give them a hug, and say, welcome, welcome to New Hope.
Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Preparing for Fruitfulness.
To take out your notes today as we talk about preparing for fruitfulness. Preparing for fruit. I don't like to be anywhere where I'm not prepared. I don't like the feeling when you're not prepared and someone scares you. You know, you're mad at them. You're at a class and it's a pop quiz and you're not prepared and you're flushed with adrenaline. You're not prepared. I don't like that. And I think the worst and most embarrassing time was when I was speaking at a pastor's conference and about 4,000 pastors, and using a lavalier mic like this, a wireless mic. And one session was done. They gave us a 5-minute break to go and use the restroom. And so I zipped to the restroom. I came back. I was sitting on the platform, and the MC turned to me and said, you should turn off your microphone. And I said, what do you mean? He said, when you go, like, I said, you mean what? He said, yeah, it was on. I said, no way, dude. He said, yeah. I said, how come the sound guy didn't turn it off? He said, he did after over the sound system, we heard a flush. I said, you mean like everybody heard? Everybody heard it. I thought, oh, no. I said, well, at least they know I flush. And then he quipped back to me. He said, but we didn't hear any water running. Did you wash your hands? And I grabbed him like this, and I said, you'll never know, will you? I don't like to be non-prepared or unprepared, but it can have some consequences, can't it? And so do people in New Orleans know when they were not prepared for the hurricane that came. Or the people in Southeast Asia when the tsunami hit and so many, many lives were devastated. Or we see that all the time here, even in the U.S., where the seasons change, and it's been changing from the beginning of time, but in the northeastern states, when it dips to sub-zero in the winter, often it's not uncommon to find homeless people who have frozen to death overnight because of the change, the drastic change in temperature, unprepared for the changes of seasons. And today we want to talk about how God says that there's changes of seasons in our lives that we need to be prepared for, and that God is committed to the fruitfulness of our future. And he's asking if we would be as much, if we would be as committed as he is to making us successful. Because there's a fruitfulness that he has planned for us in our lives, our marriages. Oh, and I'm not saying an easy life or an affluent life, but a fruitful life. One that you become what God has created you to be, to influence the people he wants you to influence and not miss life.
by detouring from our future. He's committed that we reach and arrive at what He's planned for us. And on the inside, that's what we really want to do. That's our passion. That's our gifts are moving us that way. It may include profound amounts of finances, or it may include very little. It's just what you want. Your treasure is to become what God has created you to be and not forfeit that, sacrifice that on a golden altar for nothing. You want to make sure that you become what God wants you to be, because that's what He wired us up to do in the beginning. And He's committed to that. In fact, in Luke chapter 12, it says, "Little flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom," which means He's bent on blessing us so that we'll be fruitful. In fact, He says in John 15:8, "By this is my Father glorified." How? "That you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Well, we want to be able to make sure that we arrive at that, and He is too. But one of the things we need to do is to prepare. And if we prepare well, there will be an abundant, fruitful future for us. And let's read at the top of our notes out of Matthew. When He speaks in Matthew 13 about the several different soils, some were prepared for fruitfulness, others were not. And look at the reward of what He called good soil, or soil that had been prepared. Let's read it. Go. "And other seed fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, and some..." Yeah. You see, one of the things God is saying is that we need to be willing to prepare for fruitfulness. But if we're going to ask God to be that one that, if need be, plow the ground and work it for us, then you'll need to brace yourself for the plow. And what I want to talk about today, preparing our hearts for fruitfulness, that preparation time isn't the easiest. It's not, doesn't come through with a camel hair brush. It comes through with a metal plow sometimes. You see, if you talk to any farmer, as soon as one crop is done, they start preparing for the next year. And what they do is some will actually burn in a controlled burn the stubble of the old ground, or they'll plow it under. They'll plow it, mix it with, if it's loam or some soil that's a little more of a clay kind of soil or more acidic soil, they'll put in different kinds of compounds, sand so it percolates more, or different kinds of chemicals to get it not so acidic or whatever, and they'll plow it under. Then they'll let the winter rains rain on it and rain on it. But because it's a bit more fertilized, you're going to have now weeds or thorns coming up, where bird droppings or blowing of spores from other fields will come in, and it'll germinate during that winter and it'll come up. So at the early springtime, they go and they plow it again and they smooth it out and they plow all of that stuff up, get rid of all that, those thorns. And then with fertilization and seeding, then they get it ready with furrows, and then it guarantees a fruitful harvest. But you see, there is tons of preparation that has to be done in order to bring fruitfulness. And if they don't, you have a barren field or a field filled with thorns. And here's one of the things that God will not do. God will not sow good seed on a field that has not been prepared, because it's useless. Any farmer knows that's the dumbest thing to do, is sow seed where there's thorns growing. It's not prepared, so it won't happen. And how often we say, "Oh God, I want a fruitful life. Bless me. Give me a raise. Promote me." And the Lord is saying, "No, there's stuff that needs to be prepared in your life yet. And I'd like to sow blessings. I'm committed to that. I'm committed to your future. But I can't until you're willing to prepare for fruitfulness." We want to talk about three stages of preparing for fruitfulness. So the first is this. Would you write it down? The first is we have to identify thorns in our lives. We got to identify thorns in our life. In fact, let's read what Jeremiah 4:3 says. Go. "For thus says the Lord, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns." Yeah, He's saying break up the fallow ground, which means you've got to plow that stuff under and get rid of thorns. How often I say, "God, come on, bless. God, my family's falling apart." Wayne, there's a reason. "Lord, forget that. The Lord, I just want you to bless me." Well, there's thorns in your life. There's habits, there's attitudes. You're saying words when you get a little bit mad that have an edge and a barb to it, and you're doing it again and again. "Yeah, I know, Lord. But bless me, oh God, bless." "I'm not going to sow among thorns." "Yeah, no. Just bless me, Lord, bless me." I can't. It's the dumbest thing in the world to sow among thorns. You're going to have to identify those thorns and start dealing with them. You do your part, I do my part. Deal, deal. You see, God is committed to our future, but He won't sow among thorns. And how many of us are saying, God, bless me? And the Lord said, you know how many thorns there are in your field that you have to deal with? Yeah, I know, God, but just throw seed on top of that. God is saying, you know, dream on, dude. You see, sometimes we have little things in our lives that we know is not right, but it's just become a part of our life. And the Lord is saying, Wayne, I want you to identify those and remove those, because I'm happy to sow seed, but not until you identify thorns. You know, the other week, and I've got some homeless friends that that's just their lifestyle of the season that they're in. And so this illustration is not in any way to put a value statement on anyone, but it's a lesson that I received from these. And many of the people that are homeless, they love the Lord and they want God to bless them. But you know, the other week, the other day, I was downtown and there was a homeless guy that was, my heart went out for him because he was limping. I mean, he was walking about this fast. That's about as fast as he was walking. And so, you know, people were giving him funds and things. I thought, that's good because he really needs some help. And so later on, I was in Starbucks doing my devotions and this guy limps in to get a coffee and scone. I guess he had collected enough. So he bought coffee and bought a scone, and then he went over to the creamery table and filled it all in and then limped out. And as soon as he went out, he remembered that he forgot his scone on the counter where the creamery is, and not wanting anyone to steal it, he came back in and he just walked like this. Walked, and then he got right to the door, and as soon as he opened the door, and I laughed, I was rolling. I thought, that guy is cool. He's cool. Well, I thought that was so funny. And then the Lord said, Wayne, we're all like that. That is not that homeless person. He is like, for all of us, we want God's blessings, but we have fake limps in our lives. And we blame others for our condition, so that we can remain in that condition. The Lord says, that's a thorn. You need to deal with that and be honest and say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. See if there's any wrong way in me. And Lord, I need to be honest, because God will not sow seed among thorns. You see, one of the things that God wants us to do is have a heart that's willing to go through our own life, process it, think it through, and identify thorns. And we all have them. And God wants to bless us, but He will not sow among thorns. He'll do His part if we do ours. And what God wants us to do is to have a heart that's pure. Oh, not one that is duplicitous, one that covers over, one that hides and just kind of makes it a part of our life. Because then you mutate into somebody you don't want to be because of a habit that you've carried for years and years. And you know it's not the best thing. You know it's kind of something that's not right. But you've done it for so long, it's now you. If you do something for so long, it's no longer a habit. It becomes your personality. It weaves right into who you are. And pretty soon you become the sum of all our deceptions because it becomes comfortable and that's who you are. And the Lord is saying, then I can't sow. As much as I want to bring a future into your life, you've not prepared for fruitfulness. And so one of the things is I need you to be honest, or what the Bible calls a heart of purity. You know, you've heard these filters that bring water that's laden with minerals and it purifies it. There's a scripture that says, to the pure, all things are pure. Now, he's not going to use that word like if you've arrived and you're some righteous person. In actuality, that word is a Greek word, katharos. And we're going to read the scripture and let me explain it to you. Let's read the next scripture. Go. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Both their mind and their conscience are defiled. Now I thought, well, to the pure, there's not too many people pure. Until I looked it up in the Greek, and the word pure, in fact, circle that word, is a Greek word katharos. And if you are, you've been around counseling at all, you've heard a word catharsis. The word catharsis means to sit with someone who's objective and process a thought or an act. And you resolve a problem by talking it out, by working it through. and not allowing something that at first thought is wrong, but you not wanting to process it, you accept it anyway, like, oh, that's just the way it is. No, pure heart, or to the pure, all things are pure. That word katharos is to those who are willing to process everything and not just swallow stuff. Process it before the Holy Spirit, to take a decision and say, Lord, what do you think about this? And think it through. Take the time to process it. That purifying, that filtering, the Lord says, to those people who are like that, all things will become pure because you've run it through the filter of dialoguing with the Holy Spirit. But to those who are unbelieving, who have no filter, everything is going to be defiled. But to those who have a filter, processing it. And how often God is saying, you're going to need to process your life to find out the thorns. If you don't, you'll never see them because it'll be all woven into who you are and you'll not see it at all. And then your future will not be one where the ground is good because you've got thorns all over the place, and I won't sow among thorns. And so you'll need to be willing to process it. Sit with someone who is an objective person, process it. Or the Holy Spirit, and process it before Him. You've seen it in places here. We call it mediation, where you sit with someone who is a mediator, who is an objective person. You think it through, you process it through. And you don't allow something to be wrong, even though I'm emotionally involved, so I can't let that go. I will let that go because it's not right. I process it. You get down to what's the common denominator of righteousness. In the old Hawaiian way, it was ho'oponopono, where you would get into a room and you would think through it and process it until it is finally taken care of. You'd sit with a kahu or a pastor as an objective person, and these people process it out. And the Bible is saying to those who are willing to filter their decisions before the Holy Spirit, not just launch into it, but process it however long it takes, to the pure, all things will be pure. And He's going to help get our soil good so He can sow. Let me tell you a time when I processed something, and it was a time that was a very painful time for me. You see, we hear about personalities like Balaam. Balaam was a prophet, but he was making a decision, a turn in his life that would alter his future and mess him up. So God actually intervened, showed up as an angel with a flaming sword and said, you're not going to go this way. How often I think, Lord, what if I'm processing something, but I'm going the wrong way? Will you let me make a major mistake that would impede and debilitate my future? Another person whose name is Jonah. Jonah was another prophet, or these people were those that committed their life to God and committed their life to His ways. And when they made that decision, they gave God the permission to intervene if they're going the wrong way. God is so committed to their future and your future and mine that if I'm going to make a bad decision, we have given Him permission to step in and step in hard and not let me go over the edge. He did that with Jonah. He said to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach to him. Jonah didn't want to do it. He was tired of ministry. He said, I'm out of here. I'm going to go to Tarshish. It's easier over there. Got in a boat, and in verse 12 of the first chapter of Jonah, it said, and Jonah rose and fled from the presence of the Lord. That's when his problems began. When he decided to go somewhere, didn't process it. He just headed out another way. You'll see in the Old Testament, it says, and so-and-so did something and did not ask counsel of the Lord. That's when their problems began. They didn't process it. Their hearts weren't pure.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Preparing for Fruitfulness by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Do you ever feel anxious or worried? If you do, can I encourage you? Your life is like a canoe. It's being paddled in a particular direction. It may be towards your calling, or it may be away from your calling, but you are in the steersman's seat. Your destination will be determined by what you choose to steer that canoe with. Are you steering your canoe with the paddle of anxiety? Maybe you're steering holding on to worry. In moments when you feel anxiety, remember that there are many others in your boat who are there to support you. Realize that your self-worth is more important than what's inducing anxiety in the first place. Your life is greater than your present moment, and your purpose is too important to quit right now. Paddle toward your purpose, and when you do, you'll find that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.